Good morning. So I want to talk to you this morning about getting through the going through stage. And I know that each of us have made plans in our lives where we begin with great expectations. We are invigorated by the challenges ahead, and it's a new beginning and it's a start. And then sometimes, as time goes by, it seems that we sort of fade a little bit in our excitement because the goals and the challenges and the things that we've decided to do for ourselves just seem so daily. As one person said, life is just so daily sometimes. I mean, there's not sometimes a lot of fun in the phase between the start and the finish. There is that time where we have to encourage ourselves, we have to be encouraged, and there are many ways to do that. We listen to motivational tapes, inspirational tapes, we come to church, we study with like-minded people. There are all kinds of ways that we have to get through this going through process that represents the middle between these two points of beginning and ending. And really, there is no ending. Life just presents itself in another way. Once we have overcome one challenge, boom, there's another one. One we may not have chosen, one we might have chosen, and sometimes together. So life can be a little bit exciting sometimes and a little bit daily sometimes, and it can happen all at once. And we feel like in our minds, as Ken Kies called it, the monkey mind, we're jumping around from place to place and we're not really feeling centered and focused. And my purpose this morning in delivering this message is twofold. One is to share with you the ideas about getting through your going through stage, whatever it might be, and something that has to do very practically and very personally with our church. The first thing that I'd like to share with you about this getting through business is that on whatever it is on which you decide, whatever it is that is your heart's desire, whatever is your challenge, whatever is the thing that you need to begin, remember that although the beginnings are wonderful and full of hope and we have confidence and we feel excited, there will come a time of testing in a time where it may seem a little boring and daily. And that is in the way of things because that's the way we humans tend to think. Unless we realize that the going through stage is the place where we're going to learn the most. It's very easy to get excited about something to begin with. And it's very normal to be happy when such a challenge comes to an end. This place in between is where we do most of our living. Well, really, where we do all of our living. And it's that place that seems to get us and assault us with the slings and arrows of outrageous daily fortune. One of the things that I did to get through the going through stage was the affirmations of truth. These are things that I call spiritual vitamins. They are the things that set the day up right for me. I am divinely led. My way is made plain before me. I forgive those for whom I hold any resentment, any negativity. It's like Norman Vincent Peale quoted, a mental shampoo. Ernest Holmes said it was a treatment. The Fillmore said it was the wings of truth enveloping and encircling us with love. You see, many people say the same things in different ways. And I love the diversity of opinion and new thought. And as many of you do, I take what works for me, what I love, and I can leave the rest aside. And one of the things that works for me is the remembrance that today is a new day. And I am a new person, and this moment is new, and I get to choose. And as I've said before, that connotes a very close relationship with the divine, that the divine gave us power over but one thing, and that is the power of our thoughts. We choose what we think, And by doing that, we choose our experience. We create a reality by the way we think. Now, sometimes people misinterpret that and use their creative power against themselves, saying, I must have done something wrong or thought something bad to have created this. I want you to disabuse yourself of that notion, because we all sign up for different things. We're all at different places in our growth. We all have unique challenges, and guilt is such a futile emotion and a waste of time. Guilt is saying, basically, if only I could do this over again, I wouldn't have to feel this way. Anger is saying, if only you were more like me, I wouldn't have to feel this way right now. You see, and when we do that outwardly, it's not very positive to the people that we're with. And when we do it inwardly, we depress ourselves, we push ourselves down, and we literally disinherit our own spiritual DNA, which is perfect. We come equipped to handle everything that comes our way. We just don't think we can. But by the affirmation of truth and the remembrance of who we are, we can stand in our own power or reclaim that power and set a new course anytime we choose. That's what's beautiful about life. It is lived forward. The past is useful for what it taught us. It's useful for learning things by rote. It's certainly useful for testing if you need to know something or learn something. But generally, the emotions associated with the past, outside of those that are happy and what we want to remember, are best left in the past. As Christ Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Jesus was a forward thinker. And I think sometimes in the church, we've given him a bad rap because we've made the man so holy, and I certainly believe he was, but we've almost made him untouchable, unreachable by human hearts and human hands and the things that we would do if a friend, a lovely person was in front of us. We step back from Christ and say, oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough to be in your presence. That was not the Christ Jesus message. That was not the way he treated people. And I believe the way he treated people is the way we should treat people. The Buddha even said that how you react to the events of life and the people of life that disturb you is your greatest teacher. You see, these great teachers always threw it back to you inside. Any good guru, any good minister, any good teacher reminds you of who you are and says, don't necessarily follow me. I may walk into a hole sometime. So watch me when I walk into that hole and you can get around that. And I've stepped in a few holes in my time. And I know what that's like, and I know the process I've needed to go through to forgive myself, to set my course straight again, to walk on in a newness of life. I know very well my own mistakes, but I don't dwell on them. And I consider them part of lessons that I needed to learn, or that was part of something else that somebody else needed to learn. You see, we're really all one. And we divide ourselves up in a very strange way. We say, I'm me, and I love me, and that's fine. That's a wonderful thing to do. But then we go out and refuse to give that to the folks sometimes who need it because they're so different. They don't act the way I would act. They don't do the things I do, and I'm going to close myself off from that. And then when you do that, you're interrupting the flow, the divine flow of life, and then we wonder why we have clogged emotions, hearts, souls, because we need to be channels that remain open to divine power. Divine power is always flowing through us. It is there for the use at any time we want. Eric Butterworth said, does it matter how long a room has been dark when you flip on the light switch? Does it matter how long you've been in a situation or what the challenge is when you turn on the light of truth and you claim the Christ Spirit, infinite presence, love, whatever you choose to call it, to lead the way in your life. Getting through that going through stage then is a building block for the next challenge that you'll have. You see, with each successful event, you're building for the next and the next. Life is like a staircase sometimes. You get up one level and you're there, and then you take another and another, but it's always upwards. I've never seen life lived in reverse, except by some very sad people who can't let go of things that they need to let go of that would help them in their growth if they release them. Holding on to hurts, resentments, negativities, the pains that we all have are things that ultimately hurt us twice. The event hurt us once, and then we hurt ourselves by what we tell ourselves about it. So my message today is, let's join the human race. Let's realize that we're all in this together and cut each other a little slack. Now, I know that there's not anybody in this church that I feel holds anything against anybody. I haven't seen anything like that. But just by the nature of us being humans, we're going to run into that in a daily basis somehow or another. Something is going to move us off center. Something we tell ourselves, some judgment that we thought we'd forgiven may show its face again. A pattern may repeat in our minds, and we've got to be very vigilant about it. Out of the heart proceed the issues of life. The things we think, the things we hold, the things we remember, the things we dwell upon, these are the things we get more of. The universe is said is like an echo. You go, one man said he went to the mountains and he shouted out, "I need help." And the echo came back, "I need help. I'm lost. I'm lost." He heard these same things that he said echoed back, and he realized that the universe was like that, and that it was reflecting back to him exactly how he felt. And he would say, "I'm happy," and then the words would come back, "I'm happy." He'd hear his own words. Life was his mirror. The universe mirrors our expectations. It mirrors our innermost thoughts and desires. We find evidence for what we believe, and we might as well believe the best. We might as well believe that as we go through these things that we have to go through, that it is for a purpose, that we are either learning from or being used by something greater than ourselves. We're all part of a grand whole. We all have desires and hopes and dreams unique to us as humans. We are not that different from one another, but our life experiences are very individual, and they are very important to us, and they should be. But I think it's healthy to step back sometimes, get perspective, and say, I'm going to get through this, and if I don't get through it just the way I plan, it's still for my highest good. You see, I believe the universe is rigged for the highest good of everybody that's ever lived. That it is, that we are going someplace, and that it is perfection. And we only have to align ourselves with that perfection. There's a saying in metaphysics, God only knows perfection about you. That sounds strange when we see all the things where we feel like we need help. But you see, he sees us as divine sons and daughters with whom he can do great things. We are his hands. We are his feet in this world. The Christ Jesus man left. The Spirit was sent, and we were to go forward. And wonderful things happened. At that time, great teachers appeared. The Spirit came across so many, not just Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, the Sufis. The Spirit was poured out on all flesh. It's not that somebody can refuse to honor Christ Jesus, there's no other way but His Spirit that's poured out in many different ways, in many different people. And that's the beauty of it. We don't claim an exclusive Jesus in unity. We claim an inclusive, universal love that pervades every one of us and is ours for the recognition. So when we go through things that try us, when we go through things that hurt, we always have that presence with us and for us. Christ Jesus said, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. This is Scripture. These are the words that He said many times. Fear not. He's always telling people not to fear and not to be afraid to reach out for new life. Not to be concerned with what you did that was, quote, wrong so much as what you were going to go forth and do from here on out. That is healthy. That is life-affirming. That is the Christ Jesus I came to know and love. I am a fan of unconditional love. I believe that's the only kind of love that's real. Otherwise, love with conditions, to me, is control. And I don't want to control. I want the spontaneity of the people that I'm involved with. I want their own unique experiences to come together with mine. And we're interesting and we're joy-filled and we work with one another, and through our differences we find common ground. I don't feel the need to stand back, wall myself off, be exclusive, and say, you must do it my way. You have to believe my way. I believe that people, especially in religion that do that, are quite insecure about what they believe. Love is the refusal to insist that someone be anything else other than what they are. That is a great gift to give to someone. Not I'll love you when, not I'll love you if, but I love you. That is true love, freedom, expansion, helping others get through their going through trials, being of service, even if it's just your presence, even if it's just a phone call, a word. Love those people. And first, love yourself, because that's where it comes from. That's the fountainhead of what Christianity is about. Self-love. Sounds selfish. But Dr. Robert Schuller wrote a book in the early 70s called Self-Love. And his idea basically was that you can't really love other people in the way that is healthy if you haven't first made peace and love yourself. That means with all your marks and blemishes and what you call imperfections, the whole package, accept it all. Be for yourself. Be your own advocate. If you stumble, do it again. Get up with renewed intensity. Don't allow the vicissitudes of the game to push you down to the extent that you can't get up again, because there are some people that allow that to happen and they get so far down they feel there's no hope and there's no way out. There is always a way out, because you can always choose once again. That's the beauty of this present moment. That's the beauty of the divine power we've been given. So when that time comes between the beginning of something that you start, a job, a relationship, a project, and you're all excited, and it's going to be great, and then the days go by, and you begin to wonder, is it worth it? I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. And you're wobbling through the middle. Remember one other important thing. Those times, those what we call salad days, may be the time that you look back on and say, gosh, I wish I could revisit that again. There were really some good times in that, and I didn't know it then. I look back on my own life when I carried a sack lunch to real estate school when I was in my late teens. And I thought at the time, how awful that I'm eating bologna sandwich in the car and barely have money for the Coke machine. But I want you to know that if I could go back there just for 1 hour, I would do it. I was hungry, both physically and for work. And it felt wonderful. When I look back on it, it was a great time. Those times that sometimes try us are the times that we could look back and say, gee, there was some good stuff there, and I'm kind of nostalgic for it. We tend to only know that in retrospect. So I would say, enjoy the now, because the now is going to be a memory later on, and you might as well embrace it. I remember those things, and I know you do too, that tried you, and that you thought were less than perfect, and you look back on them and say, gee, there was something good about that after all. Or I grew, or I helped someone else grow, or I helped someone get through that going through stage, or I'm helping myself get through this going through stage. I'm talking about being an advocate for yourself. I'm talking about betting on yourself, as Dr. Robert Anthony said. I'm talking about what the great teachers and mystics and sages have all said. It all begins with you. It all begins here. You don't have to say, it's my karma, it's my destiny, it's kismet, it's fate. We don't really know that. We have ideas, but we don't know that. But we do know we get to choose right now, this present moment, is what we're given. And each present moment well lived leads to a life that's well lived. So you see, we can have these internecine ideas about why this happens or what the reason is for this or is it this or is it that, but the moment is fresh and new. And if we don't pollute it with our preconceived notions about what happened in the past, then we can go forward and do better and make happen what we'd like to have happen or be open to what Spirit has for us without being contaminated by the past. And that's a difficult thing, and it's been difficult for me. So I know it must be for you. But each time that I work with this and try to overcome it, I feel better for having done it, and it's part of growth. Nobody ever said growth was painless. You've heard of growing pains. You've seen children teething. Everything that expands has to push against something. That's part of life. You've seen these little tiny things that come out of cement. They're little grass or things. And you wonder how in the world that happens. And it's growth. It's reproduction. It is a cycle, the law of life. I look at my chili pekin bushes at home, but I love those peppers that I went outside this morning and I looked at them and they're nothing but twigs. You could snap it off. I said, this is dead. And in a month, it's going to be blossoming with peppers. How does that happen? It's life's longing for itself. And if that happens in a bush, it certainly happens in a human being. We just have to recognize that. Don't let the going through stage get to be so daily that you forget the miracle of who and what you are. And love it all. I know that that's difficult to do, but love it all because you're going to go through it anyway. And you might as well go through it with an attitude that I'm here to learn, I'm here to grow, I'm here to experience, and I'm ultimately here to overcome. And if I don't do it now, I'll have another chance, and another, and another. You'll get it right. What it basically asks for is your cooperation. And your cooperation is given the moment you say yes to the moment, yes to yourself, and believe in yourself. The second thing that I wanted to talk about this morning is something that is rather personal. This church is one of the most loving churches that has ever been my privilege to walk in the doors of. I am warmed by it constantly. When the day off comes for me, I miss it. I want to be involved with the people who have issues of happiness, sadness, sickness, celebration, whatever. I love this, and I know you love it too. I send you the very best for this week. I see great things for you this week, and I see your challenges converted by divine alchemy into the things that you know are for your highest good. I bless each one of you with the love, the unconditional love of spirit, and I stand in support of you and your goals and your dreams and anything that you know you need help with in your life. I'm with you, I'm for you, and I'm available. I give thanks for you. And so it is.